Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. Proverbs, chapter 31. We'll read verses 16 through 18 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Proverbs, chapter 31, verses 16 through 18. Proverbs 31, verses 16 through 18. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Let's read verse 18 together too. Ready? She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. I'll read one other verse, verse 27. I'll read it to you. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, just as the Holy Spirit is here and his presence is real, you likened that to the ladies, especially the mother of the home. Thank you for our dear ladies here and how they help set such a great atmosphere here at our church. Father, please fill our preacher with your power as he preaches. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts and our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
As I said earlier, my sermon this morning is about and to moms. Of course, it's to us all, but in a special way, it's about mothers. And I am glad that I get the privilege of saying the things that I will say today. But I want to start out with something, even though I've actually started my sermon here, I want to start out with something that I found that I thought was a bit cute. It's called A Mother's Dictionary of Meanings. I think sometimes moms have to define words a little differently than the rest of us. For instance, a mother's meaning of grandparents. What is this? The people who think your children are wonderful even though they're sure you're not raising them right. What is the definition of a full name? That's what you call your child when they're in big trouble. Boy, am I familiar with that. The definition of the word feedback, the inevitable result when the baby doesn't appreciate the strained carrots. What is a dumb waiter to a mother? That's one who asks if the kids would care to order dessert. What's the definition of a puddle? Puddle to a mother. A small body of water that draws other small bodies wearing dry shoes into it. What's the definition of a show-off? That's a child who is more talented than your own. Here, the word sterilize, what does it actually mean? What you do to your first baby's pacifier by boiling it, and to your last baby's pacifier by blowing on it and then wiping it with saliva. The definition to the words top bunk, you know the bed? Top bunk, where you should never put a child who is wearing Superman jammies. Here's another one. What is a mother's definition of a two-minute warning? Two-minute warning. That's when the baby's face turns red and she begins to make those familiar grunting noises. And then, finally, the definition of the word whodunit. You know, whodunit. The definition is none of the kids that live in our house. You know, at our house it always used to be, had to be the neighbor kids because none of our kids done it. Well, I'm pleased that today is Mother's Day. Earlier, we read from Proverbs chapter 31, verse 16, 17, 18, and verse number 27. If you glance at those scriptures, you find the description of a mother. Now, I'm going to mention those verses just a little bit. You don't have to turn to them again. But this is what the Bible says. It says, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. What's it talking about? Talking about the busyness of a mother, the schedule of a mother, the thriftiness of a mother, the commitment of a mother. You get to verse number 27 of the same chapter. It says, she looketh well to her the ways of her household, always concerned about what's going on at the house and the way it's cared for and that the needs are met of the people. And it says, and eateth not the bread of idleness. It's just talking about a good mother is busy. She's busy, she's busy, she's busy. She's involved in taking care of parts of the finances in the home and the feeding of the family and the care of the family. She's not idle. She is busy, busy, busy. And that is definitely the truth about the right kind of a mom. She is just committed and busy. There are many mothers that are mentioned in the Bible. Bathsheba was the mother of Solomon. Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. Eunice, the mother of Timothy. Eve, we call her the mother of all living. Hagar, the mother of Ishmael. Hannah, the mother of Samuel. Jediah, the mother of Josiah. Jochebed, the mother of Moses and Aaron and Miriam. Leah, the mother of Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Rachel, the mother of Joseph and Benjamin. Rebekah, she was the mother of Jacob and Esau. Ruth, the mother of Obed. Sarah, the mother of Isaac. And I could go on. Mothers are mentioned over and over and over again in the Bible. There are many prayers, and what we might consider famous prayers, that were offered up by mothers in regard to their children or in regard to being a mother. For instance, Bathsheba's prayer for her child's success in 1 Kings chapter 1. Hagar's prayer for the sparing of her son's life in Genesis chapter number 21. Hannah's prayer that God would open her barren womb and give her a child in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Leah's prayer, that prayer of thanking God for giving her sons in Genesis chapter 29. Mary's prayer of praise and thanksgiving for the privilege of giving birth to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in Luke chapter 1. Naomi's prayer for her daughters-in-law in Ruth chapter 1. The Shunammite mother's prayer for the restoration of her son's life in 2 Kings chapter 4. The Syrophoenician mother's prayer for her demon-possessed daughter in Matthew chapter 1. The widow who had two sons and prayed for the finances to save their household in 2 Kings chapter number 4. Now there's a lot of scripture that refers to mothers, and it refers to the character of mothers. These scriptures refer to the makeup of mothers. Maybe the word is the responsibility of mothers. For instance, one of the responsibilities of motherhood is commitment. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 30 says, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. There we see the depth of commitment from a mother. But yet the requirement or the responsibility of compassion. Proverbs 31:20 says, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hand to the needy. Then the responsibility of comfort is laid upon a mother. Isaiah 66:13 says, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. Then there's discipline that is a part of what mamas do. Proverbs 23:13, withhold not correction from the child. Then there's a responsibility of being a good example. Proverbs 31:25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Then there's a responsibility of faith. Matthew 15:28 it says, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. See, moms are to be moms of commitment. And moms are to be moms of compassion. And moms are to be moms of comfort. And moms are to be moms of discipline. And moms are to be moms of example. And moms are to be moms of faith. Moms are to be moms of godliness, the Bible says in Proverbs 31:30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The responsibility of homemaking, Titus chapter 2, verse number 5, the Bible says, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Moms are to be moms of love, Titus 2:4. Speaking of moms, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Moms are to be moms of morality, Proverbs 31:29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Moms are to be moms that teach obedience in their lives. 1 Peter 3:6, it says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Moms are to be moms that are providers. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 2:19, moreover, his mother made him a little coat, and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Moms are sacrificers in life, according to Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Moms are moms of thankfulness. 1 Samuel 2:1, it says, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. Moms are to be moms of commitment. Moms are to be moms of compassion. And moms are to be moms of comfort. And moms are to be moms of discipline and example and faith and godliness. And moms are example of being homemakers. And they're examples of love and morality and obedience. They're providers and sacrificers. And they're thankful. Mothers are truly put together special. They're both tender and tough. They're soft and hard. They're gentle, but can be rough. They have strength and beauty. You know something? I got to thinking that if a mother was asked to fill out a resume, someone said, I want you to put together a resume. And you came to the part of that resume where you filled in your job experience. It is amazing what mothers would have to write in their experience column of their resume. I started thinking about mothers. I got to thinking, you know, if moms filled out a resume and they really filled out that part of giving their job experience and their qualifications and their capabilities, listen, I wrote down some of the things that moms would write in that spot on their resume. They're preachers, they're doctors, they're bankers, they're judge and jury, they're school teachers, they're coaches, sometimes they're jailers, moms are firemen, moms are custodial superintendents, moms are taxi drivers, moms are veterinarians, moms are referees, moms are philosophers, moms are business managers, moms are beauticians, and moms are bicycle mechanics. Moms are missionaries. Oh, as I was thinking about it, I thought, what a mother's resume would read. I call the sermon today, The Resume of a Mother. The Resume of a Mother. Sometimes you'll come to our church and, oh, we may have a fiery, old-fashioned, hellfire, brimstone type of a sermon. Today is not that day. Sometimes we may preach the gospel and see dozens of people walk the aisle trusting Christ. And though someone may get saved today, the intent of the day is to give some attention to our moms. The resume of a mother. Did you know that a mother could write on her resume the fact that she's a preacher? You know, the most personal sermons you'll probably ever hear are going to be preached to you by your mom. You know, preachers are supposed to tell the truth, but boy, moms, they just show no mercy when they preach. They just lay it on you. You know, I can't come out there and put my finger under your chin and say, look at me when I'm talking to you. But when a mother mounts the pulpit, she'll grab your face. I'm talking about moms preaching. You've heard it. You've been through it. The most powerful sermons are preached by mother. They can flat out clean your clock. You know, when I preach on your sin, I'm guessing. Your mom, she ain't guessing about nothing. If you were a coon, you'd be treed, baby. She's hot on your trail. And then they've got this ESP thing going for them, you know? My mom, I could walk in the house and my mom would say, "What'd you do, Jeff?" And I'm thinking, how did she know? I could give a full confession. Half of it, I'm sure she didn't even know by the time she got done with me. Moms are preachers. They'd have to write, "Mama, if you filled out a resume, you're going to have to put on there somewhere you've got qualifications of being a preacher." You know, moms will preach to you about going to church, and moms will preach to you about the way you talk and the way you act. Hey, mamas, keep on preaching it. Keep on preaching it. We need a revival of moms to preach to the kids about doing right. Moms, if I could help you with a little something that I have learned from being a preacher called of God to stand in a pulpit, your sermons make a better impact if they've been bathed in prayer. You see, just your personality is not adequate. It'll take the Holy Spirit of God to take the truth of God and plant it in someone's heart where it might sprout up and bring forth fruit. But I'll tell you this, moms, you could put on your resume that you're a preacher. Not only that, mothers are doctors. Their kitchen becomes their emergency room. Oh, I guess in the realm of being a doctor, you could be a nutritionalist. Moms are always telling you to make sure you eat your vegetables and all of that sort of thing. Moms are like doctors. They don't use all the traditional medicine. They really, in their little medical bag, they don't usually have in their antibiotics. They have kisses. Mom can kiss a boo-boo, and it goes away. The pain goes away. That's better than taking some medicine. It's free. Dad, you ought to be glad. Kisses are not included on your HMO. Mom can kiss a boo-boo and make it feel better. She's a doctor. Moms can analyze both physical and emotional injuries and prescribe a cure. Sometimes the cure is, shut up. Quit whining. But mom knows the cure. Mom, it's amazing. Mom, first, when we're little, she puts her hand on our brow to see if we're too warm. Then for the rest of our lives, when we don't want to go to school, we just push our forehead out toward mom, hoping that touch will keep us home from school. It is mom that gives us that medicine that tastes nasty. Now, when I was growing up, a lot of people talk about castor oil, and that's what it's called. How many of you have experienced castor oil? Will you raise your hand? Now, I've never had that before. Now, I'm a little more a modern medicine kind of a guy. I hated Pepto-Bismol. To me, it tasted like the chalk that you could eat at school, which I did try a couple times, so I have something to compare it to. But boy, my mom would say, "You need Pepto-Bismol," and I'd say, "I'd rather eat a piece of chalk." I hated that stuff. But moms had their own little medical way of doing things. And I believe if we had a mom fill out a resume, she could put on there, "Well, I guess I'm a doctor because I help doctor my children and my family." But not only that, moms are bankers. Moms are bankers. You get to hear their financial advice like from Wall Street. Now, don't spend all that in one place. Or, you better save for a rainy day. Their purse is their vault. They even give out non-secured loans to borrowers with bad credit. Now, dads aren't as much like that, you know. "Dad, I need $5. Drop dead, kid. I gave you money last time. You never paid me back. So what do? You sneak them up. "Mom, give me $5. "Okay, all right, here it is." You know, moms are the ones in the banking industry that says to us, "You can't have everything you want." It's moms that give us the money and say, "Now don't lose that. Don't lose that. Don't lose that." And boy, I wonder how many times moms have heard, "Mom, can you give me a dollar? Give me a dollar, Mom. Can I have a dollar?" Well, today it's probably, "Mom, can I have 20? Can I have $20, Mom? Give me $20. Mom, can I have $20? Can I have $20? Boy, you moms, I wonder how many times you've heard the question, "Can I have? Can I have? Can I have? Can I have?" And to you mothers, I know there are times when you gave your child that $5 bill, and it was your last. And you gave it to them because they wanted to get a sandwich when they were maybe with the school or out on an activity. And maybe so you didn't have money to get you a sandwich. And to the moms, I appreciate you being bankers for us. We thank you that on your resume, you could put down there that you've preached many a sermon. You could put down there that you've been in the medical profession and you've been a doctor. To the moms that are here today, your resume could read that you've been a banker in life. And not only that, moms get to be judge and jury. Moms make many, many decisions among their children and in their household every day. As a judge, her robe is her cooking apron and her gavel is her spatula, which works part-time as a paddle. She settles disputes at home as judge and jury. She passes sentence. She's the one that can say, you are going to tell your brother you're sorry. Thank God for moms. Moms are the ones that explain the difficult words of life to us as judge and jury. They say things like, what part of no don't you understand? They're the ones that will say to us as we don't do as we're told. Maybe it has to do with cleaning our plate. Mom's the one as judge and jury that says, you will sit there until the cows come home, but you will eat your spinach. The child feels like they've got handcuffs upon them as they sit there trying to figure out where to hide that spinach. Your mom's the one that says, kiss your seat goodbye. Boy, you're in deep trouble now. Oh, moms are judge and jury. Mothers are like school teachers. They teach us to talk. They teach us our ABCs. Those of you that teach in whether it be the public school or the Christian school, you can thank God because most mothers have already done the pre-K and the kindergarten teacher's job for them. Many mothers are teaching the ABC song. Many mothers are already teaching the children how to count and how to, and as even as the children go home, let me tell every teacher here, in most every case, no matter how much you're teaching at school, there is a mama that's backing you up at home and she's teaching and teaching and teaching while you're teaching. Mothers understand foreign languages. A mom can understand a child that nobody else can understand. Every once in a while, a child will come by my office, and on Sunday nights, the children come by, and they get a sucker out of my sucker jar. Sometimes they want to have a conversation with me. I have to tell you, sometimes those little ones say things to me, and I just do the best I know how, and I say, okay. All right. Now, if mom is anywhere in sight, I can look up and mom will say, she just told you that she loves you. He just told you thank you. And I'm glad. I've got to be careful agreeing to everything that those children ask because I don't know what they're asking. They may be asking me for a $100 bill, especially the little girls because they're trained early in life to get money from men. Oh, but mothers, they're like teachers. They're teachers. They teach us to talk. They teach us to count and multiply and divide. Hey, you moms that work on those speedy readers, that's what they're called. Oh, your child is learning to read, and mom is just as much a part of it as anybody else is. Oh, the mothers who are the homework drill sergeants. There's nothing like it's 3 o'clock or whatever time your kids get out of school and they're out of school. You're energized. You're out of school. You're ready to go home. And what happens? You get in the car. You're on the ride home. This person says to you, you have homework? You wanted to go home and have cookies and milk and watch a cartoon? And mother asked that dreaded question. You have homework? Oh. Oh, the pain of it all. They teach us not to use magic markers on their furniture. We had a house that my wife and I were selling. It was when we were going to Bible college. And we got our house all fixed up. I needed to sell my house, and then we were going to go off to Bible college. I mean, we had painted, and we'd done everything you need to do. We'd just gone through our entire kitchen just a day or two before, spruced up all the paint. The realtor said, we've got somebody that wants to look at your house on Saturday. My wife, she called me frantic. I think I had been at work that morning. She said, honey, you've got to come home fast. It's Saturday. The realtor's going to be there in about 30 minutes. She said, you've got to come home fast. I ran home. I went into the kitchen. One of our kids had, is Jeff? Jeff Owens II had taken, you know those permanent magic markers, what are those things called? Sharpie. He had taken a black Sharpie magic marker and put pinstripes all the way around that kitchen. I'm talking about walls, appliances, cupboards. They weren't very high. They were just knee high, but they were there. When the people came to look at the house, we had to explain that was not a part of the intended decor. And then Jeff learned he has never touched a Sharpie marker again in his life. Oh, our mothers, teachers. Our mothers, you know, on their resume, they could put that they preach many a message, and they could put that they've been our doctors and our bankers and the judge and jury and their school teachers. Mothers are like coaches. They could put that on their resume. Moms coaches through life. Moms coaches through life, whether we're young or old. They make us practice at being good. Many a mom has taught her son to throw a ball or to swing a bat or to shoot a gun. It's often mom that stands in the or sits in the bleachers. She's a spectator. From the stand, she's the coach. From the stand, she's the cheerleader. I wonder how many times, oh, and I realize dads are there, but this sermon's about moms. I'll tell you something. Many a mom, while dad was off at work, is sitting in the stands cheering and telling that boy to step into that ball and telling that boy not to be afraid and to get in there and to hustle. Mom was there to say, good job, son. Good job. Moms coach us. They coach us in our friendships and our behavior in life. Not only that, moms sometimes become jailers. Jailers. They can put that on their resume. Security people. They help us by controlling us. They make statements like, go to your room. Yeah. Or, you're grounded. What are they? They're there to just keep us under control. You hear about the mother, and she'd had some children, and her children were a bit difficult to handle. Someone said to her, said, Ruby, if you could have children all over again, would you? She said, I most certainly would. I just wouldn't have the ones that I already had. Mothers are security guards. Mothers are jailers. They teach us that there is wrong and there is penalty for wrong. It's moms who say those wonderful words like, sit on the couch. And don't you ever get up. Now, they don't mean that. Well, they did at the moment. At the moment, they meant it. But there are jailers. There are security guards. Mothers. Mothers are like firemen. They're like firemen. They're the ones that teach us not to play with matches or we'll wet the bed. Now, the two are not necessarily connected. They're the ones that put out the fires between brothers and sisters. They're the ones that put out fires between even the children and daddy. They're like firemen. They use their words of love and understanding to quench the fiery words of hate and bitterness and anger. They extinguish blazes that could destroy families. They douse gossip so nobody gets burnt in life. They remind us not to touch the burner on the stove. And then doctor it while saying, sweetheart, I told you so. Mothers, they're like firemen. Mothers, they're like custodial superintendents. We could put that on their resume. You see, it's mothers that keep the world clean, all the way from clean your plate to clean your room. They're there for us. They're like custodial superintendents. There would be a part of the market in America that would be unnecessary if it were not for mothers. The dirty clothes hamper, that hamper, if it were not for mothers, we would not use those things. We would just throw our clothes on the floor. Littering would be a common thing if it were not for moms. Moms want us to be clean. Moms, you just keep on teaching cleanliness. You say, but they're not listening, but you keep on teaching it. It is your obligation. It is your responsibility. A teacher that says that my student is not learning, that does not give the teacher the right to stop teaching. Oh, not at all. We've got to keep teaching. And just so you know, they probably get a little more of it than what you think. They're learning it. You say, why? The very advice that you gave your son when he is little, he is now giving to your grandson. You thought he wasn't listening. Oh, yes, he was listening. He may not have acted on it like you wanted him to act upon it, but keep giving that advice because mothers are like custodial superintendents, and they could put that on their resume. They want us to have a clean mouth, and they want us to have a clean life. Oh, you mothers, if you only knew, most of your daughters, when they find out you're coming to visit, sure do a lot of cleaning before you come. Why? They want you to be pleased. There are mothers. They're in for this thing of cleanliness. They give us spit baths and then teach us it's not polite to spit. But mothers. A mother could put on her resume that she had preached many a sermon. A mother could put on her resume that she was a doctor and that she was a banker and that she was judge and jury. A mother could put that she was a school teacher and a coach and a jailer. Mother's like a fireman, and a mother is like a custodial superintendent. Mothers are like taxi drivers. They should have public passenger chauffeur license given to them in an honorary way. Oh, mothers stayed busy with those vehicles. The average mom could climb into an 18-wheeler and drive cross-country and not be challenged by it at all. Why? All you got to do is have a couple kids in the back seat and try to drive when they're fussing and fighting. It'd be easier to handle an 18-wheeler with a bunch of truck drivers on the road than to handle a car load full of kids fussing and fighting while you're trying to get them to school on time when they forgot their shoes. Moms are like taxi drivers. Moms are like chauffeurs. They drive us to school. They drive us to church. They drive us to the activities. They drive us to the soccer game. They drive us to cheerleading practice. They drive us to the basketball game. They drive us to the baseball game. They take us out to McDonald's. They take us to the Dairy Queen. They take us to what? They take us to the library. Just driving, driving, driving. And all the time, moms are glad to do it. Well, most of the time, moms are glad to do it. All moms should have a little yellow light that goes on top of their car that says taxi, no doubt about it. Mothers, just think how rich you'd be if you could charge taxi fees. Boy, oh boy, what a blessing our moms are. You see, mothers, they're like firemen. They're like custodial superintendents. Mothers are like taxi drivers. Mothers are like veterinarians. You say, how so? Well, they love our animals along with loving us. They helped us bury the dead sparrow that we found, the one that we were going to play with, but the sparrow didn't seem to have much play left in him. They found that sparrow on the road and drug that bird home. Say, Mom, can we bring it back to life? Mom probably tried, a little mouth-to-mouth or something, I'm not sure. But mothers are like veterinarians. And anybody in here, every mama knows exactly what I'm talking about. Kids can drag everything under the sun home. Every kind of animal, every kind of creature. It's mom that told us not to pet that stray dog. It was mom that told us not to feed that stray dog. It was mom that helps us at, oh my goodness, at our house, what my wife had to put up with. I let my boys have pets. I let my boys have pets of a variety of sorts. One of my kids had a pet alligator. That alligator spent time in the bathtub. That alligator spent time racing around our house. And my poor wife, she put up with that. We had a tarantula for a while, and she hates spiders. My wife, we had a pet piranha, and I am talking about not a little teeny tiny one. I'm talking about one that was big. You could put a frog in there, and that piranha would just dice that frog to shreds. My wife thought it was gross. My boy thought it was exciting, enlightening, and scientific to watch. We had an iguana. Oh, my, what my wife put up. Now, she drew the line with snakes. That was the only place she said, I'm not having a snake in the house. And so she didn't know that there ever was one in the house. I remember one Easter, we decided that the thing to do was to get our kids baby ducks. You say, why? Because you can buy a baby duck for your child at Easter, and a week later, you no longer have a baby duck. It's an easy thing. You get to be a hero for the week, but it doesn't cost you thereafter. Well, we got a duck. We named it Ping. Ping, P-I-N-G, Ping the duck. But our duck didn't die. Our duck lived on and on and on. My poor wife. Kids would be off at school. My wife is babysitting that duck. I mean, she'd watch out for that duck. One day, we put that duck in the bathtub. That duck was put in the bathtub because we felt like the duck needed to swim. You know, it was a really, really little duck. And we put it in the bathtub. Of course, it was a big, deep bathtub, one of the old-fashioned steel kind. There was no island for little ducky to take a break. We put the ducky could not fly out. The ducky's little legs weren't long enough to go to the bottom of the bathtub. And I got a little, Mrs. Owens, I think, had gone to Walmart. That's one of her favorite places, at least used to be. She had gone shopping and left little Ping to swim. Many, many hours later, she came home, and Ping was going under for the last time. That duck had sucked in a bunch of water, and she just knew how the kids were going to feel about this. My mother drowned my duck. Yeah. So she did what all mothers would do. She took that stupid duck to the vet. I'm thinking, kill it. Put it out of its misery. Tell the kids the dog ate it. This is a part of life. I mean, we eat chickens and cows, and they could all understand. It's a food chain. She took that stupid little duck to the vet. And the vet said, ma'am, your duck is suffering from shock. And then the vet told her that the little duck he was lonely. So she I didn't let her get another duck, don't you worry. You know, all good things come to an end. You know, when you got to pay $50 vet bill for a stupid duck that should have died day two after Easter. She came home and she put it in a cage. She got a big mirror so the duck would have somebody to talk to. And the kids were delighted. They were delighted. It wasn't all about her and it wasn't all about me, but I'll tell you what it was all about. That was the kid's duck. It was big. It was important. We finally let the duck go. It wound up out of Bible college. If you went in the Bible college's yearbook some years ago, there's a picture of a duck that had a visitor badge stuck to its chest. Our duck was not afraid of anybody or anything. It would walk right into the college while they were having classes. It just walked right in. You know, hi, everybody. How you doing? Mothers are like veterinarians. They say things like this to us. If you get that dog or cat, you're feeding it and taking care of it because I'm not. And then they feed it and take care of it anyway. You know the threat. But children, they mean that. I don't want to mess up something here. Mothers are like veterinarians. Mothers are much like referees at a ball game. They make a lot of calls in life. Sometimes the calls are unpopular. Oh, they may bench you for a little while. You ever been benched by mom? They know when you need more playing time and when you need less. They know when you have fouled out in life or if you have fouled somebody. They know your attitude. And they know if your attitude is out of bounds, because mothers are much like referees in life. You see, a mother in, on her resume could write many things. She could write that she's done some preaching and that she's been a banker and that she's been both judge and jury. A mother could talk about being a school teacher, and she could put on her resume that she's like a coach and that she's like a jailer. She's like a fireman and she's like a custodial superintendent. Mothers could be like taxi drivers, and mothers could be like veterinarians helping us to take care of the pets and the animals of life. Mothers are much like referees in life. Mothers are also philosophers. It's mother who recommended to you that you don't say anything behind someone's back that you would not say to their face. That's good philosophy. It is mother who tells us to wear clean underclothes in case of an accident that I've never seen an EMT check. But the philosophies of mother are there. It's mother who says, I don't care what all the other kids are doing. And mothers, you need to keep saying that. Don't teach your children that even you give in to peer pressure. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And it is the duty of a parent to help their children to learn to stand and do right no matter what everybody else is doing. Mother is a bit like a philosopher. Mother has little twists and teachings that she uses, and I think the books could not contain the teachings of mom and the things that mom tell us and the things that mom say to us and the way that moms help us. And just so you know, mothers, these indeed are the responsibilities of life. This is what you do, and you do it well. And on your resume, we could put that you are a philosopher. Not only that, mothers are much like business managers. You could put on your resume that you're a business manager. They help us with our lawn mowing business. Wonder how many a mom, a son or daughter's wanted to make a little extra money, and they say, well, maybe you could mow the next door neighbor's yard, or you could help out with some lawn work, and mothers help to make it happen. They help us with our lemonade stands. They help us with our money. They help us with our paper route. I wonder how many mothers helped a boy or a daughter pass a paper route. Up early in the morning, busy, maybe if it were an afternoon paper, busy in the afternoon, and it's amazing, all that money that came in, and that young person just felt like this has got to be the most economically positive thing that's ever happened to me in my life. You had no concept of how much money mom and dad spent for the gas and hours of time that they put into helping you to learn a little something about business. Because mom's like a business manager. She shows you how to sell those eggs or that lemonade. She taught you how to handle a little money that grandma and grandpa sent you for Christmas or for Easter, and she was right there to teach you to tithe and to do right with your money. And they teach us, hey, financial principles like this: money doesn't grow on trees. Thank you, mother. You say, well, money doesn't grow on trees. You're absolutely right. But there's so much depth in what so many mothers say, we sometimes even miss it. Thank you, mother. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for showing us how to handle our affairs. We have many businessmen and business people here in our church. Some of you would truly trace some of your successes. You're going to have to give a lot of credit to mom, because mom was right there to remind you and to nudge you back in line, to help you. Mom's the one that said, this house isn't a barn. Shut that door. We can't heat the whole outdoors. You've heard it. You know about it. Mothers, they're like our business managers. Not only that, mothers are like beauticians and fashion consultants. Many a mother cuts hair, and many a mother has helped to fix a bad hair day. And it was mom who insisted that we not cut our own hair. And you've been there. And you've seen others that have been. It's mom who teaches boys to dress like boys and girls to dress like girls. It's mom that's there to help us to pick out our clothes and lay out our clothes and try to help us to realize that those striped pants don't go with that polka-dotted shirt. It was mom that was teaching us our colors. It was mom that said, zip your pants. Zip your pants. It was Mom that told us we had to leave our clothes on. It was Mom that looked out the window and said, there she goes. Catch her quick. She's got her birthday suit on. Thank God for moms. It's mother. It's mother that's a philosopher, and she could put on her resume that she was a business manager, and she could put on her resume that she was a beautician and a barber and a fashion consultant. It was mother that stayed up late with you and helped you get that gown ready for the junior-senior banquet. It was mother that helped you to learn to polish your shoes right. It was mother that taught you those belt loops are for a belt. It was mother that taught you that both sides of your shirt tail are supposed to be tucked in at the same time. It was mother that taught you that when you got cowboy boots on, you're not supposed to have one pant leg in and one pant leg out. It was mother that taught you that you're supposed to wear socks even though nobody can see that you don't have socks on. It was mother. Mother that taught you to take care of those clothes because she's both a beautician, a barber, and a fashion consultant. She's a business manager and a philosopher and a referee and a veterinarian and a taxi driver and a custodial superintendent, a fireman and a jailer and a coach and a teacher and judge and jury, a banker and a doctor. And it is Mom that preaches to us those sermons. Hey, it's Mom who is a qualified bicycle repairman. They know how to lower our seat. They know how to teach us to use the kickstand. They're the ones that tell us not to throw our bike on the ground because it took a lot of money to pay for that thing. They're the ones that help us to fix that flat tire. They reminded us that that bike is not supposed to be left out front where it could get stolen. It needs to be put away. I'll never forget one day. My mom helped me to do something really neat with my bicycle. I had a Western Flyer. And we all remember Western Auto. Western Auto was a catch-all kind of a store, had a little bit of everything, and I'd gotten me a Western Flyer. It was gold metal flake, had a banana seat, had what we called the ram handlebars. But it wasn't snazzy enough. One day my mom came out and she said, Jeff, give me one of your baseball cards. It's not a real good one. Well, that's hard. All baseball cards are good ones. She had got me an old clothespin and a baseball card, and she showed me how to put that baseball card and clip one end of the baseball card to a part of the frame of my bicycle and the other part of the baseball card into the spokes of my bike. When I'd run down the road, it sounded like it had a motor on it. It was cool. Moms know stuff like that, and I'm glad. Mom's like a bicycle mechanic, and then I say, and I'm finished. Though I think I could talk, ladies, about you for the rest of the day. I really could. The outline goes on. Mothers are like missionaries. They care that their children go to heaven. You see, what missionaries do is they care about the souls of people. Missionaries know that there's a heaven and that there's a hell. Missionaries know that every human being, one day we either go to heaven or hell, and that is dependent on whether or not the individual has trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Moms are like missionaries. They teach their children about Jesus. They want their children to be born again. They want their children to be saved. They want to know that heaven will be their child's final home. That heaven will be their child's final place in this life, because mothers are like missionaries. The Bible says this: she considereth the field and buyeth it, and the fruit of her hands she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. To the best of my ability, I have described to you what those scriptures are describing. Mom, what a resume of qualification, ability, and what a tremendous influence in our world. Mothers, we thank you. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I promise you, there's not a mother alive that would want their child to suffer in hell. Not a mother alive. Everybody would want their child to live forever in heaven, a place of bliss. You know, moms, the very thing that you spent your life trying to accomplish, I want you to look at me. The very thing that every mom wants to accomplish. You don't want your kids hurt. You want them safe. You try to protect them. You've tried all the way through life to accomplish that. Can I tell you the best way to accomplish it perfectly? Help them get saved. When they get to heaven, you won't have to worry anymore. You won't have to worry anymore. They'll be sheltered in the arms of Jesus Christ. If you're a child and you've never been saved, we welcome you to the Savior. If you're a mom, why don't you just set it up as an example and get born again? Trust Jesus Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed.